Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis chapter 30 today. Genesis chapter 30 for our study. We'll be starting in verse 25 in our reading as we finish up chapter 30, and then we'll embark a little bit into chapter 31 as we continue the account of Jacob and his life. As we saw, he ended up with 11 children in our last visit together last week, and now we're going to see what's going to happen with all of that. Starting in verse 25 today, as we hear from Moses, who we believe authored this work for us. Genesis chapter 30, starting in verse 25. As soon as Rachel had borne Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, "Send me away that I may go to my own home and country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, that I may go, for you know the service that I have given you." But Laban said to him, "If I have found favor in your sight, I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Name your wages, and I will give it." Jacob said to him, "You yourself know how I have served you and how your livestock has fared with me. For you had little before I came, and it has increased abundantly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I turn. But now, when shall I provide for my own household also?" And he said, "What shall I give you?" Jacob said, "You shall not give me anything if you will do this for me. I will again pasture your flock and keep it. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from it every speckled and spotted sheep and every black lamb and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and they shall be my wages. So my honesty will answer for me later when you come to look into my wages with you. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and black among the lambs, if found with me, shall be counted stolen." Laban said, "Good, let it be as you have said." But that day Laban removed the male goats that were striped and spotted, and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, and everyone that had white on it, and every lamb that was black, and put them in the charge of his sons. And he set a distance of 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob, and Jacob pastured the rest of Laban's flock. Then Jacob took fresh sticks of poplar and almond and plane trees, and peeled white streaks in them, and exposing the white of the sticks, he set the sticks that he had peeled in front of the flocks and the troughs, that is, the watering places where the flocks came to drink. And since they bred when they came to drink, the flocks bred in front of the sticks, and so the flocks brought forth stripes, speckled and spotted. And Jacob separated the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the striped and all the black in the flock of Laban. And he put his own droves apart, and did not put them with Laban's flock. And whenever the stronger of the flock were breeding, Jacob would lay the sticks in the troughs before the eyes of the flock that they might breed among the sticks. But for the feebler of the flock, he would not lay them there. So the feebler would be Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Thus the man increased greatly and had large flocks, female servants and male servants and camels and donkeys. May the Lord add his blessing at the hearing and the reading of his word this morning. Well, everything had hung in the balance. Should he go after his girlfriend slash mistress who just stormed out of the apartment, or what? 3 years earlier, Josh had walked out on his wife and three young boys with the other woman, in hopes of finding a new life, but now everything had fallen to pieces with his would-be lover. And now, since the divorce, he was going to have nothing. He had grown up in the church and even believed what the Bible said, and now everything that God had said was coming true, like Proverbs 13:15. Good sense wins favor, but the way of the treacherous is their ruin. Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. Or even Jesus' own words in Matthew 7:13, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Should he try to go back to his wife and boys? Would she ever forgive him? Could she ever forgive him? There is only one way to find out. It just seems that many of our families are under incredible pressure these days. Not only do we take our families for granted sometimes, but our own culture is adding even more pressure to our families through pushing an agenda that suggests that broken families, dysfunctional families, and even redefined families are all normative. Families are very fragile things and need to be handled with great care, nurture, and patience. And as we'll see today, we need to do all we can to bring glory and honor to God by honoring our family members, by maximizing our talents and resources in the care of our families, by following God's clear direction as we lead our families, and by communicating God's work in our lives to our family, and by doing all we can in living above reproach. And as we seek to honor God within our families, He will help us protect our families through His blessing and His very presence. We've gone back to the beginning in the book of Genesis here. As we continue our study through the book of Genesis, we continue to look for God to come through on the threefold promise that He had made to Abraham. God promised many descendants for Abraham. God had promised land for His descendants, and God had promised an ongoing relationship of blessing to Abraham's offspring. And two generations later, we are now seeing the beginnings of a great nation taking shape now through Jacob. And we also see God continuing to bless Jacob, even though he seems to be quite a wily character. And on top of all this, throughout our study, we've been following the seed line of the Messiah that was promised in Genesis 3:15 after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. There we were told that a child would be coming through the seed of a woman who would destroy evil once and for all. And in today's passage, we see God prompting Jacob to move back to the region of land that God had promised to Abraham's descendants. But how is Jacob going to be able to detach himself from Laban, who has already tricked Jacob several times, including duping Jacob into taking his two daughters as wives, which we saw last week, which basically turned into a giant soap opera. But today, Laban once again tries to take advantage of Jacob, the ultimate schemer. And as we see, Laban is just no match for Jacob or for Jacob's God. As I was studying this week, this account reminded me of the old TV series All in the Family. This classic TV series, the bigoted Archie Bunker tries to match wits with his son-in-law, Michael Stivic, a.k.a. Meathead. Remember that? With little success. And I ask you, how do you get along with your family? Does everyone get along in your household? Apostle Paul reminds us, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. This includes how we live with and love our families, doing all we can to bring glory to God with these dear people we say we love. Today we will see five spiritual truths that relate to how we should live with the people that God has blessed us within our own families. But before we study, let's ask God's help. Will you pray with me? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this incredible opportunity we have to share in Your Word. Lord, we ask that You would just have Your way with us as we study. Open our ears and our eyes to see Your truth for what it is. And Lord, open our hearts to be impacted by the power of Your Spirit as we encounter Your Word. So Lord, speak to our hearts. Have Your way, we pray, in this moment, in this hour. We want to give You all the praise in the process. We pray this in Your Son's wonderful and awesome name. Amen. Well, if you have your sermon notes outlined, the first truth is simply this. We need to bring glory and honor to God in honoring our family members. We need to do all we can to bring glory and honor to God in honoring our family members. Well, how do I do that? First of all, by protecting our household. And that's what we see here with Jacob as he intends to move away from Laban. Look at verse 25. As soon as Rachel had borne Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, "Send me away that I may go to my own home and country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, that I may go, for you know the service that I have given you." If you recall, the problem and conflict in the TV show All in the Family is that Gloria and Mike had moved in with Gloria's parents, Archie and Edith, which brought about all kinds of frustrations and resentments. Now here in our account with Jacob and Laban, we also see the development of frustrations and resentments that culminate with Jacob's desire to just go back home to mom and dad. His relationship with Laban had become so toxic that he just needed to get out of there and to protect his family. All he wanted to do was go home with his wives and children. In a word, he was homesick. I've done my service to you, Laban. I'm ready to go home. Notice what it said in verse 25, that I may go to my own home and country. Verse 26, that I may go. Have you ever been homesick? You ever longed to just go home? For me, especially around Christmas time, I often have thoughts of home, warm thoughts of my two brothers and my sister. Perhaps a simpler time when I was just a little brother and all that mattered was what was under the Christmas tree. Perhaps we all need to long for home, but not home here in this world. Perhaps we need to yet long for a heavenly home. Through Abraham, we are reminded in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, it's by faith Abraham went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. He was longing to find home where God was. This should be our heart, shouldn't it? For those who have gone before us, the writer of Hebrews continues, but as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. For here we have no lasting city. We don't have a lasting city here on this planet, but we seek the city that is to come. What are you longing for? Here, Jacob's longing to go home, to get his people away from the maniacal nature of this relationship with Laban. He wants to get out of there. He wants to go home. But what home are you seeking? Where are you longing to go? In his book, The City of God, St. Augustine had some incredible words as he compares the earthly homes that we have compared to the heavenly city, the heavenly home that God has for us as we wait on him. Notice what he says by way of his comparison here in chapter 28. Augustine, by the way, this was written hundreds of years ago. This is amazing truth. What we see, he says, then, is that two societies have issued from two kinds of love. Worldly society has flowered from a selfish love which dared to despise even God, whereas the communion of saints, that is, believers, is rooted in a love of God that is ready to trample on self. In a word, this latter relies on the Lord, whereas the other boasts that it can get along by itself. The city of man seeks the praise of men, whereas the height of glory for the other is to hear God in the witness of conscience. The one lifts up its head in its own boasting. The other says to God, "You are my glory. You lift up my head." In the city of the world, both the rulers themselves and the people they dominate are dominated by the lust for domination, whereas in the city of God, all citizens serve one another in charity, whether they serve by the responsibilities of office or by the duties of obedience. The one city loves its leaders as symbols of its own strength. The other says to its God, "I love you, O Lord, my strength." Hence, even the wise men in the city of man live according to man, and their only goal has been the goods of their bodies or of the mind or of both. Though some of them have reached a knowledge of God, they did not glorify him as God or give thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and their senseless minds have become darkened. In the city of God, on the contrary, there is no merely human wisdom, but there is a piety, a holiness, which worships the true God as he should be worshipped and has as its goal that reward of all holiness, whether in the society of the believers on earth or in that of angels of heaven, which is that God may be all in all. I don't know about you, but this is the home I'm longing for. This is where I want to end up, the city of God, not merely the city of man. Ultimately, the better country is where Christ is. Life is short, as we've learned this week with the Halversons. Life is short, beloved. But we have a sure hope in Christ if you've placed your faith and trust in him. And if you believe on him, we need to desire a better country for our families. Are you caught up in the here and now, or are you longing for the there and then? In the meantime, as we wait for a better country, we need to protect our households. And that's what Jacob intends to do by doing all he can to get away from Laban as he sets his sights on going home. We need to do all we can to honor our families by protecting them as we wait our heavenly home. Secondly, we need to bring honor to our family members by looking after the interests of our family members. Well, how do I do that? Notice how Laban really is not looking out for the interests of his entire family. He's out for himself. Look at verse 27. But Laban said to him, "If I found favor in your sight, I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Name your wages and I will give it. If I found favor in your sight." Oh, really? Notice Laban's self-interested manipulation. The New American Standard, you could translate it this way: "If now it pleases you, stay with me, Jacob." Really? Who is Laban really out to please? Rather, what's really going on from Laban here? Isn't it more like, "Hey, Jacob, I want you to stay with me, not because it pleases you, but because it pleases me. That's why I want you to stay." And then it says, "I've learned by divination." Did you hear this? Did you catch this? "I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me." Wait a minute. Divination and the Lord? How does that go together in any sentence ever? What's really going on here? Divination is an abomination to God. We know this. The use of tarot cards, palm readings, astrology, horoscopes to somehow attempt to ascertain information about the future from the very pit of hell, isn't it? Moses tells us in Deuteronomy 18, by way of the word of the Lord, Moses writes, "When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or his daughter as an offering." Well, that's pretty horrible. But that's what was going on back then. "Anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens or a sorcerer or a charmer or a medium or a necromancer or one who inquires of the dead. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For these nations which you are about to dispossess listen to fortune tellers and to diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do this." Why? Why does God not want us to participate in divination or anything like it whatsoever? Because he wants us to be dependent on him alone. Because he's sufficient. He is enough. As we sang earlier. Beloved, you need to seek Christ and not the stars. You need to seek God and not your own benefit, as Laban is doing here. Paul says to the Philippians, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also the interests of others." Laban continues to be outwardly benevolent and inwardly self-serving. Here's what's true. If you're seeking to serve yourself, you lose. If you're seeking to serve yourself, there's no way you'll be able to serve your family. And we honor our families best as we look after the interests of each family member. And thirdly here, by providing for our household, we need to take care of our household. Listen to Jacob's heart here as he explains things to Laban. In verse 29, Jacob said to him, "You yourself know how I've served you and how your livestock has fared with me. For you had little before I came, and it has increased abundantly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I turn. But now, when shall I provide for my own household also?" This is a good thing. He's longing to be, "I just want to go out and I want to have my own career, my own life. When's that going to happen?" Here Jacob makes his case that, "All I want to do is provide for my own household. It's time for me to go." And by the way, providing for our own households and working for our own living is commended throughout the scriptures, isn't it? Paul writes to the Thessalonians, verse 11 of chapter 4, "To aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one." The New American Standard translates it this way: "To not be in any need." Wow. This is how we should live our lives, aspiring, similar to what Jacob is saying here, providing for our own households. Paul adds in Ephesians 4:28, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Beloved, we need to do all we can to bring glory and honor to God through how we provide for our household, through looking to the interests of our family members, and through protecting our households. Fourthly, by making fair and honest proposals with our family members. Now, I'm not sure fully what's going on here and how this is unpacking, but it seems that Jacob's got something up his sleeve. He seems to know something that Laban isn't aware of. It doesn't seem that ultimately what's being proposed is going to be truly fair and honest. Look at verse 31. Laban says, well, what shall I give you? And Jacob says, well, you shall not give me anything if you'll do this for me. I will again pasture your flock and keep it. Which, by the way, we're going to find out is really not true. He's trying to figure out how to get out of here. So that's not very fair. That's not very honest. He's not being open. And so let me pass through all your flock today, removing from it every speckled and spotted sheep and every black lamb and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and they shall be my wages. So my honesty, there. Whenever somebody tells you that they're being honest, you'll be careful. So my honesty will answer for me later when you come to look into my wages with you. Every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and black among the lambs, if found with me, shall be counted stolen. And Laban says, good, let it be as you've said. Oh, so we got a deal. It seems clear as Jacob makes his proposal that he has something up his sleeve. Jacob has been shepherding. He's been a shepherd in the shepherd business for many years now, and he knows how to play the game. He's a master shepherd. I just ask you, are you a schemer, manipulator person, or do you trust God for your provision? Do you want to cut the pie and pick the piece too, or can you trust God for your portion? Or are you more like, you know, one for you and two for me? What kind of person are you? Man, when I was a kid, I'd play games with my brother. He was the kind of guy that he'd hang his ship off the board, you know, playing Battleship. You'd never find, like, J-12. Like, where's that, you know? He'd kind of cheat me. He would say, B-5, and I'd start to say the word miss. I was a little kid. I started with an M, and he said, no, I meant B-6. You know, he'd just manipulate me, take advantage of me playing Battleship, and I always lost. Still trying to get over it. Well, we both grew up and we're now dear, dear friends. But we all know the kind people that are manipulators. Jacob manipulates Laban with a seemingly good proposal that really suits his own interests. In the process, Jacob intends to take the strongest and best of the flock for himself. Beloved, as we deal with our family members, we need to make sure that we're putting forth things that are fair and honest. Proposals that make sense and are reasonable for everybody, that everybody can win on. But if you're just out for yourself, man, look out. By the way, you know where this is the worst, where I've seen it? It's when someone passes away. Man, when there's a funeral, man, everybody shows up. Hey, where's my piece of the pie? Where's my cut? Hey, they told me these things. And people get really goofy at a funeral. It just shouldn't be that way, especially for those who follow Christ. Fifthly here, how can we bring honor and glory to God with our families? By keeping our word with our family members. Did you see what it said at the very end of 34? Laban said, good, let it be as you said. But then what's he do? Immediately. But that day, Laban removed the male goats that were striped and spotted. He hides them all. And all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had white on it, and every lamb that was black, and put them in charge of his sons. And he set a distance of 3 days' journeys between himself and Jacob pastured the rest of Laban's flock. So, these guys are a match, right? I mean, these guys are scheming, and there is no peace. This is horrible. I wonder if Jacob just wants to get out of there. Laban initially agrees, right? Good, let it be as you said. And then he immediately begins to manipulate the agreement. He removes the striped, speckled, and spotted sheep and gives them to his sons. And then Laban separates the flocks after agreeing with Jacob to let him have the striped, speckled, and spotted sheep. And beloved, the bottom line here is we need to do all we can to honor our family members by keeping our word with our family. If we said it, man, we should come through. We should do all we can to bring glory and honor to God through being honest and forthright, keeping our very word. We need to keep our word. We need to make fair and honest proposals with our family members, providing for our households and looking after other interests instead of our own and doing all we can to protect our households. Secondly, this morning, we need to bring glory and honor to God in maximizing our talents and resources. Again, Jacob is a master shepherd, so he's going to take advantage of that opportunity. And so he's going to use his talents and resources under the circumstances, and God's going to bless that for his purposes. Look at verse 37. Then Jacob took fresh sticks of poplar and almond and plane trees and peeled white streaks in them, exposing the white of the sticks. He set the sticks that he had peeled in front of the flocks and the troughs, that is, the watering places where the flocks came to drink. And since they bred when they came to drink, the flocks bred in front of the sticks. And so the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted. And he basically did the same thing with the lambs as well. We really don't understand fully what's going on here. Let's be honest. People have tried to put scientific explanations for what happened here and why the sheep really produced really well. We don't know. This is apparently something that he knows and that God knows, and God blesses in the process. Again, Jacob has just been cheated by Laban again, so what does he do? He creates an enhanced breeding ground for Laban's sheep. He separates his new flock from Laban's and had them interbreed, and along with God's miraculous intervention and God's wisdom, he then genetically engineers high-quality sheep for his own flock. And through this process, he creates a strong breeding stock, and by this time, he'd been shepherding for well over 20 years. He had a lot of experience and has developed the best environment and best practices to enhance the fertility, virility, quality, and quantity of his sheep. God has blessed him with a great ability and talent in this particular area for his purposes. And I ask you, what's your talent? What can you do? What can you do that others can't? Have you offered that to God fully? What could you be using right now for his glory? What will you do? Are you somehow holding back? What are you waiting for? We can bring glory and honor to God in maximizing our talents and resources before him as we serve him fully in all things. Thirdly, we need to bring glory and honor to God in following God's clear direction. Now we turn to chapter 31, which we haven't read yet. Now Jacob heard that the sons of Laban were saying, "Jacob has taken all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he has gained all of this wealth." And Jacob saw that Laban did not regard him with favor as before. And then the Lord said to Jacob, "Return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I'll be with you." When we hear from God, we need to follow his clear direction. His brothers-in-law had turned against him. His father-in-law had also turned against him. And now God redirects him, and God promises his presence with him. And I ask you, where do you need to be? Where is God directing you? Perhaps he's directing you to stay here. Maybe God wants you to endure a difficult situation, a difficult scenario for his purposes. But maybe he's redirecting you somewhere else to do something with that incredible gift that he's blessed you with somehow, some way. Are you listening to his clear direction? Are you listening for his voice? Will you follow him when he calls you? Fourthly here, we need to bring glory and honor to God in communicating God's work in our lives. At this point, Rachel and Leah really need to be brought up to speed with what's going on. Jacob has been dealing with Laban, but now Rachel and Leah have been kind of left out. But we need to bring glory and honor to God in communicating God's work in our lives. And it seems to me that Jacob does this well here. First of all, by acknowledging God's presence in our lives. Notice that's exactly what Jacob does. He acknowledges God's presence in his own life. So Jacob sent and called Rachel in verse 4 and Leah into the field where his flock was and said to them, "I see that your father does not regard me with favor as he did before, but the God of my father has been with me." Isn't that true for all of us? He's been with us through everything, hasn't he? Have we acknowledged that with our people? Are we acknowledging that with our children, with our family members, with our friends? Secondly, we can communicate God's work in our lives by acknowledging God's protection in our lives. That's what Jacob does. "You know that I have served your father with all my strength, yet your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times, but God did not permit him to harm me." In other words, he's saying, you know, God protected me, didn't he? Do you see that, Leah? Rachel, you see that? God's been protecting me. And we need to acknowledge God's protection in our own lives as he protects us. I mean, who knows how much God has protected us from over and over again, different decisions we made throughout life, that one decision would lead one way, another decision leads in a totally different direction, and yet God ordains it all, and he protects us. Yeah, there are difficult things that take place. Yes, it's hard sometimes, but you know what? I just would like to remind you that things could be worse. Are we acknowledging God's clear protection in our lives and his presence too? Or thirdly, acknowledging God's blessing in our lives. That's what Jacob does. He acknowledges that. Verse 8, if he said, the spotted shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore spotted. And if he said, the striped shall be your wages, then all the flock bore striped. Thus God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. He's just acknowledging God's blessing. This is what's happened. And rightly so. Notice how he's not saying, hey, aren't I an awesome shepherd guy? Aren't I pretty cool? You should like me. You should dig me. It's like, no, God did this. And lastly here, acknowledging God's direction in our lives. In the breeding season, in verse 10 of the flock, I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream that the goats that mated with the flock were striped, spotted, and mottled. Then the angel of God said to me in the dream, Jacob. And I said, here I am. And he said, lift up your eyes and see. All the goats that mate with the flock are striped, spotted, and mottled. For I've seen all that Laban is doing to you. God had seen everything that he'd be going through. And God says in verse 13, I am the God of Bethel. Literally, Bethel, the house of God. I am the God of the house of God. Well, who's that? Well, you know where you anointed a pillar and made a vow to me? I'm that God. That's who I am. Now arise, go out from this land and return to the land of your kindred. Notice he acknowledges God's direction in his life. We need to do the same as he tells his wives. Acknowledging God's direction, God's blessing, God's protection and presence. We need to do the same. We need to talk about God's work in our lives, that God is doing things. Are you looking for it? Do you have God sightings in your world, in your household? Man, we were constantly, as we were raising our family, pointing to God and his clear intervention in our lives over and over again as he led us from all over the place. And our kids could look at that and see God at work in amazing ways as we acknowledge his presence, his protection, his blessing, his direction. And we still do as best we can. Lastly here today, we need to bring glory and honor to God in living above reproach. Well, how do we do that? How should I live above reproach? Well, first of all here, by honoring our parents. Honoring our parents? Yeah. Notice how Rachel and Leah really are not going to be honoring their parents. Young people, listen up. Listen to the attitude. Listen to the heart here from Rachel and Leah. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there any portion or inheritance left to us in our father's house? Are we not regarded by him as foreigners? For he has sold us and he has indeed devoured our money. All the wealth that God has taken away from our father belongs to us and to our children. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do. Yeah, well, sure, we'll go. There's nothing here. Horrible attitude. Basically, you're saying, you know, dad's a loser, so let's leave him broken, destitute. Besides, he deserves it. This is a horrible attitude. Would it have been better had they say, hey, dad, we want to make sure you're taken care of, and, you know, we're going to move on, and it's all good, and we'll be back to visit at Christmas, you know. Couldn't have been better. Could have been different. We need to honor our parents, even in our older age, in our parents' old age. My folks are in their 80s. I long to bring honor and glory to my parents. I long to love on them and to care for them. They'll always be my parents. There's not a point where it comes that they're not. Maybe you need to reach out to a parent today. Maybe you need to demonstrate your care and your love for your mom and dad in a way that would freak them out. Young people, are you listening? You want to freak your parents out? I dare you to, like, just do what they say. I know it's weird, it's crazy, but you could do that. In the process, you'll be bringing glory and honor to God. and living above reproach. Secondly here, by trusting God for our provision. Look what happens here in verse 17. So Jacob arose and set his sons and his wives on camels. Here we go. He drove away all his livestock and all his property that he had gained, the livestock and his possession that he had acquired in Paddan Aram to go to the land of Canaan to his father Isaac. Laban had gone to shear his sheep. So Laban's out of the way. He's on a little trip. And so look what it says, end of verse 19. And Rachel stole her father's household gods. Why? What is she doing? What is she up to? What is she about? Perhaps she wanted to plunder dad of all of his wealth. I mean, perhaps they're made out of precious metal or something of value. We're just going to clean dad out here on our way out the door. Perhaps she wanted the idols for herself. Maybe she's an idolater. We'll look into that later. Stay tuned for that. Or maybe she wanted to take the idols so that dad couldn't divine where they went. Yeah, there's a possibility. It's clear they're not trusting God for their provision, are they? At least Rachel isn't. I'm going to enhance the opportunity for myself. Yeah, I know you're there, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to make sure. I'm going to create my own insurance. Watch me. And so she steals. We need to trust God for our provision, beloved. And then ultimately, last year here, trusting God for our protection. Look at verse 20. Is Jacob really trusting God for the protection? And Jacob tricked Laban the Aramean by not telling him that he intended to flee. He fled with all that he had and arose and crossed the Euphrates and set his face toward the hill country of Gilead. He was determined to leave no matter what was going to happen. He just didn't care about Laban anymore. So Jacob sneaks off out of fear. The daughters did not honor their father. They did not trust God for their provision. They did not trust God for their protection. Scheming and manipulation everywhere on both sides of this family. No peace, only conflict and strife. Do you know this family? Are you familiar with this family? Is this your family? I don't know. Only you know. Beloved, we need to live above reproach, trusting God for our protection, trusting Him for our provision, doing all we can to honor our mom and dads and our families. Husbands loving their wives, wives loving their husbands, parents not exasperating their children. Oh God, help us in our families. Well, Josh went home and asked Becky for forgiveness. And by God's sheer grace, 3 years later, Becky had waited on God and waited for her husband to return. They went through counseling together. They went through premarital counseling a second time and were remarried just 3.5 short years ago. And by God's grace, they are now joyfully serving together in their church and raising their boys to follow Christ. And by the way, I've never quite seen a man who has loved his wife so completely as he understands the weight of her forgiveness and love for him that he totally didn't deserve. But their marriage is a beautiful thing now. But I must add this, that I know of other situations and scenarios that didn't wrap up so nicely or so tidily, where the destruction came, there was no reconciliation, only brokenness and destruction. But beloved, we need to do all we can to bring glory and honor to God. By honoring our family members, by maximizing our talents and resources, as we've seen in this passage, by following God's clear direction, by communicating God's work in our lives, and by living above reproach, as we trust in God's protection and His provision, as we honor each other and our families. With all that we've talked about today, my question for you this morning is, what do you need to respond to today? What is God putting His finger on in your heart, in your life, as you hear His word? What do you need to deal with today? Would you please stand with me as we close our service? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the power of your word that pricks our hearts. As we look into the lives of these who lived so long ago, and yet it just seems that their lives reflect what's going on all around us even right now. So much heartache, so much pain, so much conflict, disunity. But Lord, we're all longing for another city. We're all longing for home. We all just want to go home where there's peace, where the hostilities are no longer there, where there's redemption and reconciliation and love and care. Changed lives, changed hearts. But Lord, as we wait on you for your good pleasure, may we do all we can to bring glory and honor to your name by how we love our families and care for each other, because our families matter. They matter to you and they should matter to us. So Lord, help us to honor each other. Help us to be about doing all that you've called us to do and exercising our talents and our giftedness in a way that would take care of our families and bring honor and glory to you. Following your clear direction in our lives, trusting you all along the way, as we communicate your incredible work in our lives, you've done so much for us, and yet we speak so little about it. So Lord, help us to communicate, to make you the thing that we're hanging on our wall, doing all we can to live above reproach as we honor each other, as we rest in your protection, as we rest in your presence. Thank you, Lord, for attending to us by your word today. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that through following him, we have access to these truths, these things, by the power of your Spirit in our hearts and lives, to bring right assignment and assessment with what we've seen and heard today. Lord, help us to apply your word well and to apply it rightly, that we might please you, that we might find peace in our relationships, that we might honor each other and bring glory to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this time. And now help us as we go to bring light to a dark world wherever Christ is proclaimed. We pray this in your Son's wonderful and awesome name today. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you so much for coming. Hopefully the rain will let up sometime.